But I'd like to speak to you just for a few minutes on Paul's words to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and from verse 8 to verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, from verse 8 to verse 12. The title I will give to this is something along the lines of the glorious gospel of God. I could have chosen many titles, but I suppose that gets somewhere near it. The gospel, the glorious gospel, the gospel of the grace of God. Three times that Paul uses the phrase, the gospel, in this short passage. Verse 8, the gospel. Verse 10, the gospel. Verse 11, this gospel. Gospel means good news. What good news is here? Paul is speaking about salvation here. Verse 9, God who has saved us. He's writing to a believer, Timothy, and his words apply to all believers. And to all believers it can be said, God has saved us. Paul's theme is God's salvation, the gospel by which God saves sinners. I remind you that Paul is an old man here, in prison, lonely, deserted, about to die. He could be cynical. He could be bitter. He could be saying, a plague on all your houses. But he's not. He is still thinking. He is still praying. He is still preaching. He is still writing. He is still proclaiming what? The gospel of the grace of God. The glorious gospel. The gospel of the glorious God himself. The good news that God saves sinners. This is our desperate need, friend. Are you an unbeliever? Oh, you need to be saved. You might be a Mohammedan. You might be very religious. You need to be converted and saved from your sins. Islam won't save you. There's no salvation in Islam. You might be a Buddhist. You might be this or that or the other. But if you're outside of Christ, you have no salvation. This gospel is the only way of salvation. There is no name under heaven given among men but Jesus Christ, by whom we must be saved. And Paul here is writing to Timothy, reminding him of this glorious salvation. God has saved us, this gospel. It's what he's writing about here. Notice the initiative is with God. God has saved us. There's a lot of foolish talk about the freedom of man's will and the power of man, what man can do. Not at all. It is what God does. I'm not saved by what I can do. I don't take the initiative. I was dead in my sins, lost in my iniquities. It's God who must save. And Paul says, this is precisely what has happened. It takes the power of God to take dead sinners and make them live. And that's precisely what happens, verse 8. It's the power of God who has saved us and called us. The initiative is with God. Salvation, O my soul, rejoice. Salvation is of God. Jonah, salvation is of the Lord. What does salvation mean? It means the whole range of the benefits that Christ has worked and accomplished for his people. Forgiveness of sins, peace with God, justification, pardon, reconciliation, redemption, sanctification, assurance, everlasting life, adoption, sealing, the witness of the Spirit, liberty, the glories to come, and so on and so on. Salvation is the whole range of all the benefits that Christ has accomplished for his people. And God has saved his people. God has saved his people. God has redeemed, reconciled, justified, sanctified his people in Christ and called us. Now, calling has two aspects to it. There is, first of all, the general invitation and command of the gospel. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent Unbeliever, if you're listening to me, God commands you to repent. There's the general call. God invites sinners to come. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. That's the general call. Unbeliever, look to God, call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. That's the general call. But what Paul is talking about here is the effectual, inward call. The time comes when that general call is made effective. You may have heard the general invitation and command many times, and it's had no effect upon you. But when God begins to work in you, you feel it for yourself. You know you're a sinner. You feel that you're a sinner. You're convicted that you're a sinner. And you are converted to Jesus Christ. And you call out to the name and on the name of the Lord, and you are saved. God has regenerated you and brought you to faith and repentance in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the calling that Paul speaks of here. Has it happened to you, my friend? Has there ever come a day when you have felt within yourself that you are a sinner and you have heard God inviting you, commanding you, drawing you, beseeching you to come to Christ, and you have come? That's the call. If you have not, then come to Jesus now. Believer, you have heard this call, and you have come, and you have been saved. But God has called us to a holy life, not because we are holy, because we are sinners. We're dead, he calls us to life. We are sinners, he calls us to holiness. He makes us holy. He makes us live. In other words, sanctification. Justification, yes, but sanctification as well. God makes us holy. He makes us new creatures. And we live out the life of Christ within us to the glory of God's name. I know there's a view about that you just assent with your mind and you accept the gospel and you can live as you like. That's devilish. That comes from hell, that does. That's wrong. It's the act, salvation is the act and power of God changing and converting a man, making him a new man in Christ, a new creation, and he lives out a life to the glory of God. Called us to a holy life. But notice Paul's negative. It's not because of anything we have done. Not in any of our works, now sinner, now unbeliever. This is what you plead. You plead your works, don't you? I do my best. You have to learn to say, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Sinners like to talk about their works. What shall we do to work the works of God? What will God be pleased with in what we can do? What must I do to be saved? There is nothing you can do, my friend, in the sense of works. Not because of anything we have done. Do you realize that, my friend? It's not because of your works. Are you pleading your baptism? Stop it. Your baptism will never save you. Are you pleading going to the Lord's Supper? Stop it. That will never save you. Do you read the Bible to be saved? Are you pleading that? I read my Bible, therefore I'll be... No. I say my prayers. No. You're saved not for anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. God's purpose, God's grace. It's undeserved, you see, when we deserve the very opposite. When we deserved his wrath, he was merciful to us. And it's his purpose to save us. It's his plan, it's his power. Verse 8, the power of God is not my power. It's his grace, it's his works. This is a glorious gospel. This is good news indeed. When was this grace given to us? Well, it was given to us when we believed. Yes, that's true. But we can trace it back far, far beyond that, far before that. Look at Paul says, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. God planned and decreed it all there. He determined that he would save you, brother and sister. He determined that in that day when you came to Christ, that was the day. He determined it before the world was formed. Think of that. You may be nobody. We are nobodies in ourselves. But God loved us with an everlasting love. We were the objects of his mercy before the world began. God chose us then. I think it's Paul Baines, the Puritan, when he was writing and preaching on Ephesians, said, God pitcheth upon persons. God takes hold of us one by one. David said, he drew me out of the miry pit. It was all planned in eternity past, before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed. through the appearing of our Saviour Christ Jesus. And Christ is come into the world at the fullness of the time, at the right time, at God's time. And he earned this salvation, and he made this salvation known to us. He preached it. He preached it by dying for his people. He preached it by sending his apostles and his Spirit in his apostles and his all Christian sins. And in his own day he preached it himself. And the gospel has gone into all the world now. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Christ came and he destroyed death by dying. He brought life by dying. He earned salvation. He brought immortality to light. You tell Paul, can't find the words to describe it. Life and immortality to light through the gospel. Brother and sister, we have everlasting life. We have spiritual life. We were spiritually dead. We have everlasting life. We were everlastingly dead and would have been everlastingly dead unless Christ had redeemed us. Unbeliever, you will die forever. You're spiritually dead now, but you will be dead forever unless Christ shall bring you to light and life. Physical death will come. But even that will be overcome, and Christ will come again and raise his people to everlasting life. And it's all through the gospel. How do we come into it? Well, Paul has to go out and preach and teach it. And Christ sends out his people now, telling us to go everywhere and preach the gospel. All power is given unto me, he says. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations. How can we do that? By preaching the gospel and bringing them, or God's Spirit using that preaching of the gospel to bring them to Christ. And look at his assurance and confidence. Verse 12, I'm not ashamed because I know whom I have believed, Christ. Not what I have believed. There is a system of faith, but it's not simply a system of faith. It is who I have believed. It's not just assent. It's trusting a person and knowing that person. I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced, I am persuaded that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Look at his assurance and confidence. This is the glorious gospel. Sadly, we live in a day when men are law preachers, and they tell us we can't be assured. They tell us we have to struggle for it. It's hard to get assurance. We have to keep looking at ourselves and testing ourselves. What does Paul do here? He doesn't tell us to look at ourselves. He tells us to look at Christ. And he is assured and he is confident. He traces it all back to eternity past and all into eternity to come. The glory is all of God, but the benefit is all of ours. Oh, believer, this is yours. Rejoice in it. Sing of it. Praise God for it. Talk of it. Meditate upon it. Dwell upon it. Measure your circumstances, your difficulties, your trials, your doubts, your questions. Put them all against Christ here. Let Christ be all in all. This is the glorious gospel of the grace of God. Unbeliever, what you're missing. Oh, dear friend, come to Jesus. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him, and all the benefits of Christ will be yours. How can you live, how can you die without knowing that you have salvation in Christ? Is there a doubting believer? Do you wish to have what Paul said? I know whom I believe. I am persuaded. I am convinced. Do you want that? Then look to Christ. Meditate upon Christ. Is there a believer who's living a carnal life? Then come off it, my friend. Stop it. Christ has called you to a holy life. If he's called you to salvation, he's called you to holiness. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Is there a struggling believer? Is there a depressed believer here? Then look to Jesus. Think, I am the object of God's everlasting love. He loved me before he made the world. He gave me to Christ, and he's brought me to Christ, and he will bring me to everlasting glory. Let me just read this passage to you. Unbeliever, I want you to have the experience of it. May these words be with such power as I read them, because they are the words of the living God. May they come and be effectual, the effectual call even to you. May they call you to Christ even as I read them. And believer, say to yourself, this is all true of me, and thank God for it, and live for God for it, and speak for God for it. You too are appointed a herald and a teacher of this gospel in your way. Here is the glorious gospel then. Let me read it to you. The power of God. the gospel, by the power of God, verse 8. God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. Well, that's unique to Paul, but we are heralds and teachers too. That is why I'm suffering as I am. That's not unique. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. That everlasting day, that day of judgment, that day of eternal glory.